It's my plea that the message of the Quran be widely spread. May the flag of Islam become more elevated than the rest.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily Durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are blessed with this wonderful opportunity to participate in this silsila of Madani channel, Blessings of Quran. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will discuss the ayat number 168 and 169 of Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ya ayyuhan nasu kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiban wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. إنما يأمركم بالسوء والفحشاء وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم الأمين Translation from Kanzu al-Iman O mankind, eat of whatever is in the earth lawful and clean. And never follow the footsteps of the devil. Surely he is to you an open enemy. He, the devil, only orders you to do evil and indecency, and to attribute that about Allah what you do not know. The Shane Nazul, the reason of revelation, is that Mushriks of Arabia, they used to leave some animals on the name of their idols. And they used to believe that these animals are haram upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah kareema to refute their aqeedah. That just because an animal was left for the intention of pleasing their lords, this does not make that halal haram. And in some narrations it is mentioned that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Salam and many other people who were Jewish before and then they reverted to Islam, they would refrain from eating the camel meat because camel meat was haram in the previous religion which they had, like Judaism. And this ayah kareema was revealed to remove their doubts or whatever the feelings they had in their hearts. And according to some narrations, some people from tribe of Thaqif and Bani Amir and Khuza'a, they made dates and cheese and many other tasty foods haram upon themselves, thinking that they don't have interest in the world. They would rather wait the delicious bounties and the foods and the ni'mats of Jannah. So they decided that they will not eat any tasty thing in the dunya. Then this ayah kareema was revealed and they were told that whatever Allah has made halal upon you, eat that. In this ayah kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kulu, which means eat, or you should eat, or you must eat. So there is a commanding verb, and this commanding verb is fa ibahat. Ibahat means to inform them that it is permissible. And sometimes this commanding verb is for wujub. Wujub means compulsory. So here, this clue, this commanding verb is not of compulsory nature, but it is of permissibility. And it could also mean for wujub. And then the meaning would be that it is necessary for you to believe that these foods are halal, or these foods can be consumed. Because whatever is necessary, whatever is fard, whatever is obligatory, it is necessary to believe, it is obligatory to believe that it is halal. So Muslims must not follow non-Muslims and have hunger strike. Because hunger strike means that you have made food haram upon yourself. Allah Ta'ala has made food halal upon you and you have made it haram upon yourself. Fasting is something different, that you are following the order of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So hunger strike has got no place in Islam. Keep in mind that like namaz and fasting, eating is also fard, obligatory. Rather, it is one of the very important fard or obligatory act. Because with eating, you would stay alive. And since you are alive, you will do all other activities. You can perform namaz, you can fast. So since it is fard, it's obligatory to eat, it is also fard to earn money. So you can buy food and eat. Because this fard of surviving and living and eating is based upon earning. Like wuzu is the farz of namaz depends upon this purity upon wuzu. Also keep in mind that sometimes eating is fard, sometimes eating is sunnat, and sometimes eating is makruh. And the detail of that can be found in the books of fiqh. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, mimma. It means that don't eat everything. Rather eat some things. And which are those some things or few things? It means eat halal. So, and refrain from haram. Don't eat haram, but eat halal. And from halal things, certain things are consumed and certain things are not consumed. For example, eat the fruit, but not the peel. Or eat the fruit, not the pit. And when you slaughter a goat, for example, then eat the meat, or heart, or liver. But don't eat bladder, or certain other parts in the body of animal. And then it's mentioned, fil ardi. It means that things that are on the earth. So this includes water and the air as well. So for example, fish that's in the water and certain halal birds which are in the air, they are also halal and consumable. So when we talk about earth, then the water and the air forms part of that. Then we see the word halal. Halal is derived from hillun, which literally means to open. And that is the reason we call something halal, because the knot of haram has been opened. The knot of impermissibility has been opened. So something is now allowed and becomes permissible. And the meaning of halal here is what stands against haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made many things halal for human beings. Many minerals, many plants, many animals are halal for us. But there is a rule for everything. That when you are consuming something from minerals or from plants, the usul or the principle is this, that what you're eating is not harmful for your body. For example, it is not allowed or it's not halal for you to eat gold or silver. But if gold or silver is molded into some form of medicine by an expert, hakim or doctor, then it becomes halal and it becomes jais. But if they are harmful, then it's not allowed. So similar principle applies on plants, trees, etc. And as far as the animals of water are concerned, there's also a principle. The principle is that besides fish, everything else is not permissible. Only fish or anything that falls within the fish category, that is halal, that is allowed. And whatever does not qualify as fish, that is not halal. So in animals, prey animals, animals which hunt other animals, they are not allowed to be consumed, and other animals are halal. So these are certain usul which are mentioned in the books of fiqh. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about tayyib, halalan tayyiba. Tayyib means something nice, something good, or something of high quality. That is the reason that Medina Munawwara is called Tayyiba. Because this place is free from the dirt of kufr. And even many diseases and calamities which fall upon other places of the world, Medina is free from that. And Medina is a place whereby Dajjal cannot enter. It's protected. And an opposite word of tayyib is khabees. Najas and tahir are two opposite words. Halal and haram are two opposite words. And khabees and tayyib are two opposite words. So it's important to know this difference. And here two things are mentioned, halal and tayyib. But there's a difference between the word halal and between the word tayyib. Halal is that which is not haram. And tayyib is that which is not tasteless. or undesirable. For example, your own spit is halal, but it is not tayyib because it's not desirable. Nobody will eat his spit. And the second difference is, halal is that which is not haram. And tayyib is that which is not attained via a haram mean of earning. For example, dog and pig are haram. But when you steal someone else's goat or sheep or money which is received in bribery, that is khabees. The third difference. Halal is that which is not haram. And tayyib is that which is not harmful for the body. And the fourth difference between halal and tayyib is that halal is that which is not haram with certainty. And tayyib is that where there is no doubt about impermissibility. So all those things which have doubt in them are halal. They're not haram, but they're not tayyib. And the fifth difference, halal is that which is liked by Sharia, and tayyib is that which is liked by the nature of people as well. So here the order has been given to eat halal and tayyib, which means that eat something where two things are together. They are halal and they are tayyib as well. Also keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said here that eat halal and tayyib. But He did not give the detail of halal and tayyib. The message is that, O believers, take the brief principle from Quran Kareem and then go and knock at the door of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the detail. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will tell you what is halal and what is tayyib. Like the issue of namaz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders aqimus salata, establish salat. But how to perform salat, how to establish salat, how to do this act, we do not find that detail in Quran Kareem. So for that we have to go to the door of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and He will tell us and He will explain us. So in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us to realize that we need Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have zarurat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are not carefree from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says very beautifully, wo jahannam mein gaya jo unse mustaghni hua hai khalilullah ko hajat Rasulullah ki. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Ittiba means to follow, to walk behind. And the one who follows or walks behind, he's called tabi'. And خُطُوَات is plural of khutwa or khatwa. If it is with the fatha or with the zabar of kha, it means footstep. And if it is with the dhamma or with the pesh of kha, it means the distance between two steps. And both can be meant here. It means that don't put your foot on the footsteps of shaitan, or don't follow the path of shaitan. So it means that whichever path is made by shaitan to mislead, don't follow that path. And there are many khutawat of shaitan. There are many paths of shaitan. There are aqaid, there are beliefs, and there are amal, there are deeds. So we need to refrain from all those aqaid and those amal which are equivalent to following shaitan very clearly. And also keep in mind that shaitan doesn't do these evil deeds himself. He doesn't commit shirk or kufr. Rather, he would lead people to commit shirk and kufr. He is a muwahhid. He believes in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. He believes in Jannat and Jahannam. And he also knows that Anbiya alayhimus salam are sent by Allah Azza wa Jal. But he doesn't accept them. Innahu lakum aduvvum mubeen. Aduv means the one who goes beyond the limit. And that's why enmity is called adawat, because it crosses the limits of love and mahabba. So as a summary of these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O people, as it is necessary for you to adopt oneness of Allah and refrain from kufr, similarly, it is also necessary upon you to eat halal things, to eat halal rizq, and refrain from filthy things, from evil things, things that would make an impact upon your character and would develop a bad character in your personality. So refrain from that. And also keep in mind that person who refrains from halal and tayyib, he is depriving himself from the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal. And whatever is halal in the earth, eat them. Do not unnecessarily, for no reason, make things haram upon yourself. And this way you will be following the footsteps of shaitan. He is your enemy, he is already your enemy. And he would put things in a very nice way in front of you, but in reality those things are not good. Shaitan will only give you advice of indecency. So when people start following his footsteps, then it becomes their nature that they make their own masalas, they make their own rules, and then they will come and say, this is in the Shariat, or this is in the Quran, or this is in the Hadith, or this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan that shaitani whisperings are of six kinds, or they have six stages. The first one is that shaitan tries to move person away from iman and leads him towards the kufr. And if he becomes successful in that, then he will leave that person alone. The second stage is, he will make person involved in innovations and many other acts of misguidance. Because fasad and corruption in aqeedah is the worst sin.
And the third stage is that he will make people involved in gunahi kabira, in the major sins. And the fourth stage is that those who are pious Muslims, he will make them involved, he will make them involved with minor sins. And you must know that minor sins can become major sins. A small tiny spark of a fire can become a huge fire and can burn the house. So when you see it small, don't take it lightly. You should refrain from it. So similar situation is with gunah-e-saghira. Gunah-e-saghira are small, but don't keep on repeating it thinking that they are small. They can become big, because repetition of gunah-e-saghira becomes gunah-e-kabira. And the fifth stage is that shaitan tries to make a muttaqi, a pious Muslim, engaged in unnecessary things, so he cannot earn sawab. And his fifth trick, or the fifth stage of the waswasa of shaitan, is that he will put this idea in the mind of a person. So person leaves the afzal thing, the greater thing, and gets involved in something which is lower in station or in earning sawab. For example, a mufti or an alim-e-deen, he will put him into nawafil, or make him busy into nawafil, or he will make person busy with fasting instead of letting him go to Hajj, etc. So this way, they're leaving something which is of higher station and where there's a higher sawab, and settling with something which has a lower sawab. So all these are the tricks of shaitan. So it is very difficult to safeguard yourself from the tricks of shaitan. So we must always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, so we can not follow the footsteps of shaitan, and we can only follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From these ayat we learn that Islam does not teach us to disconnect yourself from the worldly affairs or from this world. It is not taqwa or piety to refrain from halal, delicious foods or the tastes. Taqwa is in fact the name of leaving haram, not leaving halal. Also we learn from these ayat that to believe something to be haram without any shar'i dalil or proof, this is a sin. And also it is an act of shamelessness, and it is an accusation upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is following the footsteps of shaitan. So people must take a lesson from these ayat. Some people are very brave in calling things haram, calling things bid'at, calling things shirk. And they ask subut, they ask proof for halal things. But they don't give proof for haram things. If something Muslims are doing it, they will say, give me the proof that it is halal. But they don't have the proof to prove it that this is haram. For example, if there's a well, people are taking water from that well, they're drinking, they're making wuzu, they're making ghusl, they're washing their clothes and pots. Somebody comes and he says, don't use the water of this well, People ask, why? He says, no. If you think the water is clean, the water is pure, then give me a proof. So he's unreasonable. They don't need to give a proof to prove that the water is clean and pure. Actually, this stranger who comes from outside and he says, and he brings this foreign idea and an outside idea, and he says, no, the water is not pure. It is his responsibility to prove that this is what has happened. Maybe a dog fell in it, or somebody urinated in the water, or a drop of blood fell in the well. So it's his responsibility to give a proof. If he doesn't have a proof, this is good enough for people to carry on using that water, because there is no proof against it. So this is the principle of Sharia. So some people are very unreasonable that they will ask proof for halal things, and they do not have proof to prove that this is haram. And we also learn from these ayat that if people leave an animal on the name of ghairullah, other than Allah, that animal does not become haram, providing that it was not slaughtered on the name of ghairullah. For example, at the time of slaughtering, instead of saying Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, they took the name of ghairullah at that time exactly, then the animal becomes haram. Otherwise, whether it is left on the name of idols, if it is slaughtered according to Islamic rites, then indeed that animal is halal. And we also learn from these ayat-e-karima that in order to earn halal rizq, it is ibadat to work and adopt professions which are permissible in Islam, which are halal in Islam. Therefore, Anbiya alayhimus salam, they worked, they earned their rizq. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he adopted agriculture mainly, but many other things he did in his life. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam used to make armors. And Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam adopted the profession of carpenter. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam used to farm goats. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did business. He took the maal, he took the goods of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Ummul Mumineen Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha to Syria and did business. When you work and do business, your wealth increases. So when wealth increases, you can do charity, you can give zakat, you can help other people. If you work and earn your halal rizq, it keeps you away from many wrong things and haram things. People steal, they rob, they do many other wrong things because they don't have decent work. They don't have a decent way of earning their rozi, so they adopt the wrong ways. So if people do business properly, they work properly, they will not go into these type of filthy and wrong ways of earning their rozi. When person works, he develops the habit of working himself, working hard. When person works himself, pride is removed from his heart. So he becomes humble. So it is important for us to have a humble character. When you work, that is a protection from poverty. And poverty is something very dangerous. Poverty can destroy one's dunya, and poverty can destroy one's iman as well. Therefore, you must always struggle against poverty. Whoever leaves his house to go out to earn his risk, to earn his sustenance. So angels who write the deeds, they make dua for that person. And they say, may Allah give barakat in your this move. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your earning a treasure in the Jannat for you. And on this dua, the angels in the earth and the angels in the heavens, they say Ameen, Subhanallah. So person who goes out and he works hard and he earns his halal risk, he is very lucky person. The best of the trades or the works is jihad. And then business. And then agriculture. And then handiworks like building, carpentry, etc. And we also learn from these ayat that it is not jais to make halal things haram upon yourself by taking a qasam or oath. This is in fact a shaitani whispering, shaitani waswasa. So if someone has taken such qasam that he has made any halal thing haram upon himself, he must break that qasam, he must break that oath and pay kafara, expiation of that qasam. Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud and Hazrat Hassan Basri and Hazrat Jabir Ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhum say that to make anything haram upon yourself which Allah has made halal, this is satanic whispering. So we must refrain from these type of activities. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have learnt many beautiful things from these ayat. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to study and understand Quran Kareem and the masail of Quran Kareem from authentic ulama, and must not make our own masail and make things halal which are haram and make things haram which are halal. That can cause a serious damage to ourselves and to others. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the path of truth, on the path of Quran, on the path of Sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on the path of Awliya Allah. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah.
It's my plea that the message of the Quran be widely spread. May the flag of Islam become more